Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I haven't done one of these in like a couple weeks, so first of all, thanks for having me. I hope you guys are well. I hope everybody listening is well. So it's been a very interesting time, to say the least, and you know, we're getting close to the point where you know, it's going to get a little crazy probably. Like, the Marlins probably have to make some really big decisions coming up soon. And I would say I thought Kevin made the correct point, which was I think everyone enjoyed the first half of the season as a fan, and I think that you have to do that. There's been so much losing in 20 years. I think you have to enjoy it. But you know, I think I've probably watched, there's probably people out there that have watched more Marlins baseball from the beginning of the season than me. Kyle's calling all the games on the radio. You know, like all the people who work for the team, I guess, and who were there. I consider myself, like, if you said to me how much, what percent did you watch of the season game-wise, whether it's in person or TV, I probably would say 95%. I probably have missed 5%. For some reason, the beginning of games does not interest me. The Marlins almost never score at the beginning of the game, and it always seems like I could tune into the game or, you know, just hang around to the second, and then the things start happening. I don't know if it feels like that all around the league, but it just feels like that with the Marlins, where it's like either they're down 2-0 or 3-0, or there's just like no score until the third inning, and then things happen. So the reason why I'm mentioning all this is because I feel like I'm educated enough to say that the first half they were very lucky. I mean, there's just no getting around it. They had a lot of games that they shouldn't have won that they won. I think you've heard now Skip talk more about that, feeling the same way. You know, there's definitely skill involved, but they had some really fortunate wins in the first half of the season. You know, a lot come to mind, and I've noted them all. I've talked to you guys about them. I've talked to you guys in the press box about them. I've talked to fans about them, and they just don't want to listen. But, you know, the game against the White Sox where they scored 5 runs, like, that was just so insane to have Tim Anderson commit that error and Zavala to have that catcher's interference. Like, Zavala had never done that in any level of any play since he's been an amateur or pro. You know, to have Moniak in the outfield basket catching a ball out of nowhere, you know, and Theis, the catcher of the Angels, can't touch home plate on a double play, the game would have been over. I mean, the same guy today, Doyle, who made that great catch to off the bat of Myers, he dropped the ball on a Soler home run that went over the field, the rock, you know, and got hurt and went on the injured list. And Hicks threw the ball over a first baseman's head, and Aledmys Diaz couldn't throw the ball home against Oakland in a game that Oakland should have won too. And there's more. And so the reason why I bring all this stuff up is that this is who the Marlins are. It just so happened that unfortunately those 8 losses came all at once. But they're a team that's above 500. They should be above 500. It should not have been 14 games over 500. I don't think that ever should have been the case. So that being said, you have to look around the league and determine, based on Miami's win percentage of being a team above 6 games or 7 games or even 8 games, deadline, and I guess I'm into tonight. And by the way, it takes nothing away from the win, because you know, they played so many tight games last year, they lost them all. They played so many tight games this year until the last couple of weeks, they won them all. And now it's all evened out in the end, and that's what it is. And so you, in my opinion, and I know that some of you guys don't feel this way, but in my opinion, you still have to go for this thing. You still have to try and push for the postseason. The only way fans are going to come to these games next year is if they make the postseason this year. They have to. Too late. Now, there's no make or break ticket sales in August and September. They'd love for people to come for sure. But what they want is people to buy season tickets, and they want people to commit to 2024 to be Marlins members and things like that. How do you do that? You do it in the offseason. You do it at the end of the year. You promote the fact that you made the postseason. So even if they play L.A. and they get whacked in three games in the postseason, they got to go for it. They got to try. So I'm on that board. If they lose another four or five games, I'll still be on that board. I think they got to try. I just think they have to take a step back now from maybe where they were 2 weeks ago and thinking, like, we'll just, you know, trade Jake Eater for a rental or something like that. Like, those are the sort of things I don't think you can do anymore. But I still think they must be buyers, you know, barring another catastrophe in the next week, which would basically mean losing all the games. So we'll start there.
So, yeah, we'll dive straight into it since you brought it up. Obviously, deadlines next week, things will be happening, and things are needed for this Marlins team to succeed. What do you think are probably about the top three specific needs that this team has heading into this deadline?
Yeah, so many more now than I thought a couple of weeks ago, unfortunately. But I still am very skeptical. I know people say hitting, and I think that we'll get there. But I'm extremely skeptical that the starting five in their rotation right now will be able to finish the season at the end of the year. I'm skeptical. I think Sandy will, but I am not. I mean, these are career innings for Lizardo and Cabrera. I'm very worried about Braxton Garrett. Very worried about Braxton Garrett right now. Cueto, you know, sure, I guess. You know, Yuri will be back at some point. Am I missing somebody? I don't know. I feel like I am. But I think they have to get a starting pitcher to start with. I think that's the first thing that they need to do, just to save themselves. We don't have to use an opener anymore. We don't have to worry about Cueto coming back. We don't have to worry if Rogers comes back or not. If Edward Cabrera goes down, we got a backup plan. Backup player should not be a pitcher in the minor leagues. It should be a veteran that can still throw another 50, 60 innings the rest of the season. And I think that should be their first plan of attack. The second thing, and it's the easier thing to do, and it wouldn't really require a lot, is they should get another bullpen arm for sure, somebody with some closing experience. The way that the Marlins won games in April and May is not going to be the same in August and September. It's impossible. Skip did a great job chasing every single win. I give him credit for that. The bullpen is destroyed. It's destroyed. It's too many games, too many innings, too many appearances. They're all going down one by one. It's an absolute mess right now. If today didn't show you that it's an absolute mess, then nothing will. Skip went back to Tanner Scott, who 33 pitches the day before. He doesn't trust anybody in the bullpen. Can you blame him? There is no one. So it's super desperate there, too. And we could go through some names, but I do think that they have to try and acquire a relief pitcher to give them some help in the back end of the bullpen for sure. You know, maybe they'll try Sean Reynolds again or something like that. I can see that, but that's the second thing. And then, you know, clearly they do need some help on offense. But I just don't think outside of Ohtani or Soto or someone like that, which would be a dream, which would probably not happen, I don't know that there's a game-changing player that they're going to acquire on offense right now that all of a sudden he's going to change these games from 3-2 to 7-2. I don't see it. So they may as well play to their strength at this point. And you saw today, a lot of what we see in the next 2 weeks, because I don't think you're going to see the offense come back like you saw earlier in the year. And by the way, those games were, again, the White Sox, the A's, the Royals, the Nationals. Like, that's, they piled it on against those teams. They were 12-0 and scoring 8 runs a game. Those days are gone. So I say play to the strength, starting pitching, bullpen arm, and if you can get somewhere to upgrade the offense a little bit, you do it. But I don't see a solution out there right now of a player that they could acquire all of a sudden that's going to change their runs per game to 5.5. I don't see that.
Craig, how's it going? So I feel like in years past, it's always been at least semi-obvious who the first or second guys in the farm are going to be on the chopping block when it comes to the deadline. Who are the guys this year? It seems like it's a little bit weaker than it's been in past years. Who are the guys that you can see going first to other teams this year?
Yeah, well, the most asked about players are Jake Eater, for sure. I think he's definitely on a lot of radars for teams. They would, you know, he would really be somebody that teams would like to acquire. Carson Milbrandt is another name that's come up a lot, a little bit further away from the big leagues, but going to a team that's still losing 100 in a real, and you can tell in a rebuild mode, like a Kansas City, an Oakland, a Washington, where it's still going to be years away, he's a perfect fit for another team. Offensively, I don't think that there are a ton of names that are coveted by other teams. Now, they could be a pieces in a deal. Maybe Yidi Capé could be a piece in a deal, or Nassim Nunez or Ian Lewis. You know, but none of these players are targets for other teams. It would kind of be where Miami would be asking about a player. And then the other team would come back and say, okay, well, how about A, B, C, D, E? Evan Fitterer obviously would be another name as well that you could throw in there. But it's been mostly pitching to this point. But that could change, you know, obviously, as time goes on. Unfortunately, they're not loaded in the minor leagues with hitters by any stretch. It's just not there. In the lower levels of the Dominican Summer League and things like that, my understanding from what I was told is that they have more people scouting the DSL Marlins than because of how talented they are down there. Maybe what you'll see is a couple of players who we're just really not aware of, but other teams are, that they've scouted that they pick up in a trade.
Hey, Craig, I do want to ask you, let's say Miami does end up just completely just, you know, losing almost every game left and maybe just winning one more. What's the likeliness that they kind of get rid of, I guess, the expiring contracts in this case, which would be Cooper and Wendell? And I guess if you want to go on Solaire, but he still has the option, which unlikely he does.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. So they play Tampa Bay twice and Detroit three times, and then they have to make a decision. I understand there's a game against Philadelphia, but their decision will be made by, I mean, let's not be ridiculous. They'll know exactly what they're going to do after the Detroit series is over. So you're under the assumption that they go 1-4 in that spot, and if they are, I don't know. I don't think that they would trade the guys on expiring contracts because I still think they'll feel like they are within striking distance of making the postseason. It may not be realistic at that point, and it just may be a complete collapse, but I don't see them moving those pieces. And, you know, I've heard some stuff recently that Solaire may want to stay here. So, you know, it may be a situation at the end of the season where they hold on to him and they offer him the qualifying offer. And I was, you know, wrong about this. I think Isaac was the one who brought this to my attention, is that I did not think they could if he opted out, but they can offer him the qualifying offer, which is going to be about $18-19 million next year, and at least create a situation where he has to make that decision. If he chooses not to and he gets a $50 million contract, the Marlins get a first round pick next year. I don't know that he'll get 50, but right now he does not look like a guy that's going to get 50, but who knows? Who knows what the next 2 months could be? So I think they end up holding these players. I don't think they end up shipping them off. But, you know, I haven't heard. I've heard only buying at this point and no selling at all. So maybe that changes in the next few days, but I think that all the players you see now are still here, unless they're traded to get something else. But my understanding from Kim is Kim would prefer to not take anything away from the 26 man and to only deal from the minor league system in order to get better.
Yeah. Hey, Craig, it's Eli. And that is interesting on Solaire. Somebody should mention to Bruce that he hasn't paid more than $15 million in a year for any single player since he's been here. But if he's willing to push even further for Solaire next year, it'd be uncharted territory. But that is probably the best baseball move. And as you mentioned, even if he does leave, in fact, even if he gets less than $50 million, they still get a lower round compensation pick for it. Yeah. So either way, it's getting something.
I don't know what they're going to do, but my guess is he plays the entire season with the Marlins, and then they offer him the qualifying offer at the end of the season, and he decides, can he get more than $20 million? Yeah, I probably guess he will. But then it comes down to him. What does he want to do? But I was actually pleasantly surprised to hear how much he likes it here, and maybe would consider staying in the future. And so I've changed my opinion a little bit on that. I think there's a chance that Soler could return, but we'll have to see. I mean, they would be in a fight to retain his services, at that point. But Eli, the other thing that I would say is, as far as Bruce Sherman is concerned, yes. I'm trying to think in terms of AAV. There may not be any player that is signed here for $15 million a year. No one is coming to mind. But basically, no free agent has worked out here in 6 years outside of Duvall. So you're speaking to somebody and asking them to do something, to bang their head against the wall year after year after year after year, and nothing works. You could play the other side and say, well, better players are worth more money, and that's fair. But it still doesn't make it acceptable that in 6 years, Adam Duvall essentially has been the only good free agent that they've signed. Other teams are able to do more with less, and Miami's going to have to do more with less. That's just a fact.
Yeah, and I also wanted to check in on your guy, Max Meyer. I know you left the door open a little bit earlier this year that he could maybe make it back to the big leagues by the end of this year. Do you think that is still a possibility?
I'm not really sure. Max is a different kind of cat, man. Max, I yell at him a lot when I see him in person because I'm like, he's one of those people that you text and you're back like 5 days later, 6 days later. He's like, it's not, I'm sorry. I don't know, man. I'm trying to get a better idea on that. I know that he would like to pitch the season. He thinks he can pitch the season. I don't think he's going to pitch the season, but it would be nice if he would respond to me so I could really get the deal. So if somebody would tell him, please text me back so we could talk a little bit, that would be great. It's been too long already now. I'm getting mad at you, Max. So get back to me.
Speaking of Max, is he someone that teams have inquired about on the trade market, even though he is obviously shelf?
Yeah.
All right, so that will probably do it from us here on Fish on Purse. If you guys have any questions, last call. I'll save mine just because I feel like a lot of these will get answered. I want to open it to you guys. This is why we do this every Sunday night. For those who are new listeners, we do this at the same time every Sunday night. But I want to open up to you guys to ask Craig questions. So it's probably
I have one more.
Super subscriber priority. Anyone can request to speak in these spaces, but if you are super subscriber, you get priority. Usually I do the sorting out on who to bring in, who not to. So Eli is going to do that instead, and we'll do questions for any of us. If you have an open-ended question just for any of us to answer, or Craig about the deadline, anything Marlins really. At the end of the day, we're all baseball fans, so we'll do that. It looks like first we've got Devin coming in here. Then they get his question. We'll bring in everyone one by one, and again, super subscribers, you are guaranteed to get it. Speaking priority at some point during this. And if you aren't one yet, it's a bare minimum $3 a month on our website. I'll find the link here and put it up at the top of the space. We've got Devin connecting.
Before we get...
Can I ask a quick question, connection, Eli. I might have to get someone else in.
Asking Craig, what are the front office thoughts on Jacob Aaron?
I just said how he's progressed over this year. That was a super subscriber. We'll go Ryan.
I'm hearing
two
people talk at once. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Grant, we're all good. I think you're
good?
Yeah. We were Daniel was saying something.
That might be.
Yeah, I think you cut off Daniel and then he disappeared.
Might be a problem. No, Daniel disappeared. I don't even see him anymore.
That is wild. Yeah, it made him a non-speaker, so I could add him back. And I can add Devin back.
Am I back?
Yes.
He's back. Now I can hear him.
Okay. I wanted to ask Craig
I don't know what happened.
About Jacob Berry. and the front office thoughts on Barry over the last year? And has he fallen to a point where he could be traded at this deadline or upcoming deadlines?
I don't know why they traded him. Yeah, maybe not at his lowest point, but pretty low point. You know, the pick does not look good at this point. There's no getting around that. So, sometimes you make good picks, sometimes you don't. This one does not look like a great pick, but still has a long career ahead of him and a long way to go. The Marlins have a very big development problem right now. They're just still not developing hitters at the minor league levels. And, they got to really figure out how, like other teams do with Houston, Baltimore. And, it's no indictment on what's going on now here, but just the facts are the facts. You know, guys are outside of Dave Myers, who came up, who was like the first prospect in years to come up and actually hit, and now looks like they've got him completely figured out. Probably has to go back to the minors, unfortunately. They haven't developed anything as far as hitters are concerned. So who am I to say? I don't know what Barry even is, and I don't know that we ever will know.
Yeah. Hi. Well, I'm surprised no one else has asked this yet, Craig, but, it's been a few weeks now since Yuri Perez has been off.
Yuri Perez. That was, I went on Channel 7 tonight. I'm going to be on there. That was, the big topic. So I'll be able to watch that tonight on Channel 7.
Excellent. You want to say something? Can you give us a little teaser about that? No, just because I'm curious.
It's a lot. So it's very, very, well, it's not complicated. But so, Yuri Perez was never supposed to start the season in the big leagues. That just was a fact. And he was not supposed to come up in May either. But because of all the things that happened, they ended up bringing him up. Now, is that fair to any fan to say that? Nah, that's a bunch of garbage. The Dodgers have had all five guys there, guys hurt. I mean, anybody who's sitting with me right now, pull up your phone, pull up Baseball Reference, take a look at what Cleveland did. Cleveland's got three rookies in their rotation right now, and they're still in it, okay? So it happens. It happens all around the league. You can't use that as an excuse. It's just nonsense. If you need a guy to come up because he's great and you want to pitch him, sure. But you can never expect to have your pitchers healthy the whole season. It doesn't exist. And anything else is an excuse. So they called up Yuri. He was great. At some point, they had to make a decision on what to do with him. They thought they were going to stop him or send him down several times, which is why I look so silly reporting the whole thing, because I'm told, this is it, last start. This is it, last start. And so I thought that start in Atlanta was it. Like, I just did not think, after he got blasted, I just thought, okay, all right, this is perfect. It makes sense. We're going to send him down. He's going to work on things, give the whole, excuse. Yeah, sure, whatever. And then we'll bring him back later in the season. But then he pitched against, I think it was St. Louis, and he did so well. And then the timing of it was just so odd that, right after he was so great, it's like, we're going to send him, to the minors. And so, the explanation that was sort of given was very fair at the time. And I think Kim said this publicly, I'm pretty sure, which is that she didn't want to put the big league team in a position to have a hole in the rotation and have to use, openers and things like that. And I thought that was a very astute and fair assessment by her. And then immediately after the break, they started an opener. And so then I'm like, wait a second here. If that's the case, then that doesn't fly for me, because you could have kept Yuri in the big leagues and he could have pitched one inning or two innings, just like Steven Ogre. And better yet, it was very clear that Johnny Cueto was not going to be in the rotation. I mean, I was told that a million times. I know he pitched great. I understand that. But, that was not a plan either. So it seems to me very much flying by the seat of the pants type thing is happening here. And there are people that feel that it's not a coincidence that from the point that he went down, the mojo has changed. I've heard this. It's a thing. So what is coming? We're going to have to see. I don't think the story is gone. I think there's going to be more coming, and I think he could come back at some point in early August, and I guess we're just going to have to wait and see when they decide to pull the trigger on bringing him back. But I totally agreed with everything that was done until I saw it done, and then I just started to wonder, wait a second here, if the plan is to not use an opener, and then you're using an opener, so what are we doing here? And on top of it, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think Urie threw a single pitch for several days after they optioned him. It's not like he went down and was throwing. He was not. He just was stopped completely. So very strange, this whole entire situation. But I think the Marlins have a chance to make this right by calling him back up over the next couple of weeks. Just, you know, get to those innings limits and then stop him. There's people also who say I'm ridiculous for saying that what difference would he have made if he was up? Wouldn't have stopped the fact that they would have lost 8 games in a row. I don't agree with that. I think he could have started a game and opened the game that Oker ended up doing. By the way, I'm a fan of Oker, and I thought that was a good idea to use him, and it didn't work out. But he can help the team, Urie Perez, in some way. You can have him on the team and pitch every 5 days, either opening him up or use him as a bulk guy for 2 innings at a time and just make sure that he gets his innings and keep him around and keep him active for the rest of the season. So I've actually flipped my opinion on it. At first, I thought it was totally acceptable and a great idea. Now that I've seen it play out, I don't love the way that it played out.
All right. Hopefully, I'm not talking over anyone this time. I don't know what happened there. Apologies to Daniel, but Alex Carver, fish on the farm, he's got his hand up. We'll do that question then. We'll finally get to Devin and Ryan. I apologize again.
Oh, I guess it's my turn. Okay. Hello, Mr. Mish. How are you tonight?
Good. How you been? I don't hear from you that much anymore.
I'm around, man.
Your Monteverde cards are gone down in value.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know what's going to go on with that. But
Your Sean Reynolds PSA 9?
Listen, that guy needs to pitch in the big league, so we're going to leave that as it is. Eli will agree with me. Anyways, girlfriend's going to Chicago tomorrow, by the way. I'm sure you know why. But
For the National. Well, yes, you know, sir. On the way back, pick me up some more of those Girard Encarnaciones.
I have plenty. I can give you as many as
they're
you
going
want.
Up. They're very hot right now.
I can give you as many as you want. Color, number, whatever you want. I got
Brian Miller.
Yeah, I got
Brian Miller.
I got him.
Yeah, he has a few of them. Yeah, no, he doesn't really show me those.
I don't think you want to see those. Anyways. Since Isaac stole my question about Perez, I could just ask, from what you were just saying before about Urie, he hasn't pitched in the minor leagues since they said.
I know.
What is the direction? Like, what are they doing with this guy? Is he just done for the year? Do you think they would call him back up? Like, you said that they would call him back up without pitching a minor league inning? Like, I don't know. What's the route? What's the best route?
It's very confusing, the whole thing. You know, this plan that they have him on is bizarre. It doesn't speak to pitching. It speaks to more like stopping and building back up. That's not initially what was said. It was that he was going to keep pitching. It hasn't happened. I know he's thrown bullpens, that's for sure. I'm positive about that. There's just not much further I can go on this, but I would tell you that we just got to wait a little bit and see. Over the next couple of days, I would tell you this, in the next couple of days, I think we'll have more of an idea as to what the plan is and what could potentially happen. There's just not much more I can say on it right now. But believe me, I am on the story, and, you know, I mean, I don't think people realize how much time I put into this. I mean, that's honestly why, like, I've got to sit down with Eli one day and find out how all this is going, you know, to get the super subscribers and all that. Because it's like, if I put the amount of man hours that I put into this, as opposed to what the payout is financially on it, it just does not add up. But that just shows you how much I love doing this, I guess. But anyway, going back to what you're saying, Alex, I'm going to just say let's everything I've said is all I can say at the moment, but I would guess in the next few days there'll be more to it. How about that?
No, that's fine. No, I got you. I'm sure we'll be tuning in to your coverage as well. And yes, do the super subscriber thing, because
Eli, I don't know. I thought about it, and you know, I don't know. And then I'm obligated to do stuff, and I have so much going on with my life. You know.
No, I got you. I have one other thing, and then I'm done. We'll bring in the fans. Devin, I know, is waiting to talk. But I have one other thing, and maybe it was already asked before I got here, but the draft picks, you know,
right.
And how this went for them. They get They get what is his name, Meyer, at a barely over slot deal. They got a couple of guys at under slot deals. I was kind of surprised at how low White went. How do you think, in your estimation, how do you think that they did with the spending that they did with the draft? How do you think DJ did in terms of now from past years? How do you think they did here?
Yeah, I mean, I can only go off who they wanted to pick and who they picked. And there's a lot to unpack with this stuff, and this is not my strong suit. So what I can tell you is it was between Noble Meyer and maybe one other player that came off the board, I believe, right before they picked, if I'm not mistaken. So that's how Noble Meyer went down, and they got to work that out. And then they were shuffling between several other options as it pertained to Thomas White and Kemp Alderman. Beyond that, I think there were just picks. I don't think there's a lot to dissect. But if I'm not mistaken, I think White was their best player on the board when they came around back to pick with the second round. Like, they just did not think that he was going to be there. And all of the other players, they did like better players, I think, than where they wanted somebody different outside of White. But by the time it got to that, they had him ranked higher than anybody else that was left. So it just made it very easy for them to take White. But the hard part, obviously, was they had to go under slot with some others in order to secure White, if that made sense. And I am familiar with some of the names, but I don't have it pulled up in front of me, and I don't sit there and take notes on this stuff. But at some point, I guess I could do that if somebody wants to do that.
Gotcha. What was the other name? Jacob Wilson? Is that for a first round?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was it. Yeah, I think that was the decision between Jacob Wilson and Noble Meyer. Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Well, yeah, from our opinions, you know, finish on first, we're very fortunate that Jacob Wilson was taken before Miami got to him. So.
Right, and I don't know that they would have taken Wilson. They may have taken Noble Meyer, but it was just like when a guy is off the board, what do you say at that point? That's it. So, right. But I think he was in there, and there was another name too, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Again, this is not my strong suit of the draft stuff.
Yeah.
So with people that are involved in the draft, you know, like Kim and DJ Spillick and Dan Greenlee and Naz Ocampo. Like, I mean, I think everybody was really very heavily involved this year in the draft. I kind of got to go just like strictly off opinions and, you know, because they see the players and I'm just guessing, you know, if they're going to be good or not. But look, the reviews are very good around the league. And when the reviews are good, I think that there's something to be said for that. So we'll see what it looks like in the future. But this guy, Kemp Alderman, like, they just haven't had anybody in the organization like this guy in a while. Like, this guy's legs, I don't know if you guys saw this. It's like a monster guy. Like, really big guy. I don't know what's going to be with him.
Yeah. Huge. To me, I know a couple of us saw him hit BP the other day. There's videos of it and everything from the Fish on First guy.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Yeah, you were there too. I mean, it looks like, just like first glances, like no scouting or anything, but just like first glances looks like larger Peyton Burdick, but I don't know, let's see what he does, man. I don't know. Anyways, I'll shut up and let somebody else go ahead. I know we got other speakers, but appreciate you, Craig. Thanks for doing this.
Okay. No problem.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, I've been keeping Devin waiting too long, so it's pretty much my fault for that one. I brought him in. I kind of teased him a little bit, so we're going Devin now. We're going to let him get his question, then we'll go Ryan here.
Hey, guys. I actually got two, if I could. Specifically, I want to start with our friend Garrett Cooper. What's going on with him, man? He's got a lot of random, like, little illnesses. Have you ever heard of a player that's had, like, such weird inconsistencies with his playing time?
Yes. So, okay, so this is so strange. So Coop has been sick now. This is the third time, I think, this year. You know, he had fever and chills and, you know, all the symptoms of just being super sick today. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Skip mentioned that maybe Luis Arraez was also not feeling. I don't want to be wrong on that. Maybe I am. I'm not sure. I thought he said that after the game. And he's not the only one, too. I think there are a bunch of guys that are sick right now in the clubhouse, and I don't know. I don't know what it is or what's happening, but I've heard that. So I guess we'll just have to monitor it. But as far as Coop is concerned, yeah, I mean, he's. I mean, this has kind of been the story for Coop since he's been here. Is he's had just some really bad luck, you know? And look, I'm very. Partial to Garrett Cooper. I think probably most people know that by now. I'm just a big fan of him as a player and a person. You know, his family. I'm a huge Cooper fan. So it hurts me to see all this stuff happening. And I personally think yes, there is something to the effect that he has been hurt more than other people. But I would also tell you that if you go back and you look at all the things that have happened to him since he's been here, there's a tremendous amount of bad luck that has happened with these injuries. There really are. And I've got my mental list of them, of the things that have happened. But he at one point, he had an inner ear infection that was undiagnosed, which is why he was like just swinging at everything. And the strikeout rate this year is way up. And all of a sudden, they got that fixed. He stopped striking out. You know, it was kind of like a vertigo type thing. And then, yeah, I did not know that Cooper was sick today. I had no idea. Usually I know these things. I had absolutely no clue until the game started. And then I got a text, like, hey, Cooper's out. You know what's happening? I'm like, I got no idea. The game's going on. So there's nothing I'm going to be able to find out. But since then, I have come to find out that, yeah, he's going through it. He's sick. But he's not the only one. I think there are other guys in the clubhouse that are sick. So I guess we're going to have to see what happens with this Tampa series coming up. But I have not heard the word COVID once, so I don't even want to intimate that. Somebody else asked me that, but I haven't heard that. So I don't know if that answers the question for you on Cooper. He'll be a free agent at the end of the season. I do not expect Garrett Cooper to be with the Marlins next year. Yeah, I would like him to be, but I do not expect it, just being honest.
Yeah, I kind of expect that. Appreciate that. My last little one that I have here, it's just, do you really think the Marlins have the, you know, depth to go out and upgrade the offense, the bullpen, and the rotation? They can't do all three, can they?
No, I think they could. The asks on these players right now is so astronomically high that they would just be trading Max Meyer and Jake Eater and Nassim Nunez, like, and getting rentals for the rest of the year. So they could do it, but it would be sacrificing it a lot for next year. And if they were still 14 games over 500 and they were number one in the wild card spot, I would tinker with the idea of maybe doing it. But now that they've fallen back quite a bit, and I think it was they have, I don't know if people are familiar, but they have a media relations person. Her name is Gali Sharoni. We were talking about this on the, you know, the other field, and she was, you know, we're just talking, what do you think they should do? Anything like that? I'm like, I got to go for it because you got to play these home games. And then she reminded me that if you're the third wild card, you don't get any home games. Like, what do you mean? Like, no, you go play on the road against the other team. Like, wait a second here. Well, that's no good. Like, the whole point of this was to get the fans back for a home playoff game. So if that's not within grasp, I think you got to change the approach a little bit based on what they've played. So to answer your question, I think they can accomplish all of those things because the Marlins are willing to take on some money. I know that for sure. They're willing to trade some prospects. I know that for sure. But given what we've seen since the All-Star break, even today in their win, it's like you look at them and say, best case scenario is probably the third wild card or the second wild card. But it's sort of dicey based on some of the things that we've seen, I think, unfortunately. So hopefully that answers your question. I do think they're willing to trade future pieces for this year. I do.
You mentioned Nassim. Is that a name that they're...
No. Like, I just threw his name. Give me a name. I don't even have anyone, so I threw his name because he's good and he was in the future game. But
yeah.
No, the Jake Eater is a name, and Max Meyer is a name. I mean, I'm not saying they're shopping these players. I'm saying this is who they're asking for.
Okay.
You want a reliever? Well, you got to give us Jake Eater. What? Are you nuts? Like, that's it. You know, Jake Eater, Max Meyer, Milbrandt, that's definitely another one.
Yeah.
Fitterer is another one. That's four. I'm probably missing.
Take a Miller. Did you get in there?
Who?
Miller?
No, I mean, maybe. I haven't heard
Jacob that. Jacob Miller, yeah. Victor Mesa Jr. would be in it. Anyway,
Victor,
yeah.
I've heard a lot of teams are very interested in Victor Mesa to be a tour guide in the Bahamas with the pigs.
He's good down there. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes, he's excellent at that. Is that just a terrible?
That's terrible. Yeah, it is so terrible.
I just stole money, huh?
And then he's just so brash, like posting on Instagram, like
on Twitter too.
$5 million.
Yeah, he's spending that money well on his boat in the Bahamas, man. Like, that's all you can say, right?
I don't know. I mean, I gotta find out how that deal got done.
All right, we'll go Ryan next if he's there. Devin, you got anything else?
No, thanks, guys, for the time. And thanks, Craig, for tweeting in Spanish today. Needed that.
Yeah, man. We got it done, right? You know, when desperation happens, you gotta call on me to get it done, so. Got it done.
Ryan, the floor is yours, my man. It's all you.
All right, what's up, guys? Hope everyone's doing well. And I just wanted to ask, not just Craig, but everyone here, because I want to hear multiple opinions. Do you guys think that maybe Skip Schumacher will give Tanner Scott the chance to close some more games within the next month, kind of maybe split opportunities between Puck and Scott? Or just what do you guys think he will do with our closer, because Puck has not been very sharp in his last 10 games. He's given up more earned runs than innings pitched in his past few outings. It's been really bad, and I definitely want to see Tanner Scott get another chance at closing games, because his command is a lot different this year and a lot better this year than it was last year when he got that closer opportunity and he didn't do too well. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I would say, Ryan, first of all, thanks for the question and thanks for jumping in. I don't agree with you, unfortunately. You know, I still think Puck gives them the best chance in the ninth inning to get outs. Tanner Scott, I understand he's pitched very well this year, but he's also not pitching the ninth inning. And I saw a completely different pitcher this year than last year, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it was because he was not pitching the ninth inning, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe Skip will do it. Maybe he will do it. I don't know if he will or not. For me, the issue with Puck is the issue that, in my opinion, my humble opinion, should have been recognized at the beginning of the season, which was you're going to burn this guy out by using him in back-to-back games over and over again. I talked with some of you about this privately, but Oakland was very cognizant once they moved him to reliever about using him in back-to-back days because they felt that his recovery time was slower than some other players, which doesn't take anything away from the talent of a player. But if you look at how many times he's been used back-to-back this year versus the time the season that he spent last year in Oakland, he's far exceeded already the amount of usage that he's had in that back-to-back spot. Now, the converse of that is that he was used back-to-back in April and May, and he was fantastic. And you would say, well, who cares? Like, Craig, you're totally wrong. Like, he was amazing. In all back-to-back appearances, and that's true. But I think now what you're seeing is the residual effect of that, which is one, he went on the injured list with a dead arm, and two, he's making some, you know, unfortunately, so he's missing some really bad spots in these pitches. So, Ryan, I think their answer to closer is not on the team right now, and I think that they have to try and find someone that is out there to at least help Puck in the ninth inning. To Puck can pitch one game and get a save. And I think Skip's got to go to somebody else on that back-to-back day and use Puck and wait another day to use him. I think it's a mistake, and it's playing out that way.
While you're on the topic of the bullpen, Craig, and Ryan, that was a great question, but yeah, I think I probably going to be Puck, and then who knows what happens if you
go. You guys can all dive into the same thing that I dove into, by the way, on this, and take a look at
it. No. I got you.
Take a look at how many times they used them back-to-back last year versus how many times the Marlins used this year, and look at what happened.
And he has one pitch. Like, Tanner Scott has one pitch. He has a slider, and that's it. I mean, yes, he can throw 99, but sometimes doesn't know where it's going.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'd like to say, Yeah. Sorry. Do you guys look good? Hello.
Yeah, we still got you.
Yeah, we got you.
You're back.
Okay. The one thing that I'd like to say about Tanner Scott is that you hear a lot. Oh my gosh, Tanner Scott. He has experience in the role. He saved 20 games last season. We keep hearing this. I'm sure you guys have heard it, and girls, over and over and over again. Tanner Scott saved 20 games. He blew a million. He only was the closer from May on last year. If you extrapolate his blown saves from the time that he started as closer last year, he would have led Major League Baseball by far. So just because the guy played in a million one-run games and saved 65% of them doesn't mean that he's a closer. It means that he didn't do well in the role. Now, Scott has been their best relief pitcher this year from start to finish. Yes, that is true. But I just don't think that you could go into this thinking that he could close games for them against these amazing teams in August and September. I don't think so. Keith, continue to use him how you're using him in the packets that you're using him. Why change that at all? What they should be doing is getting somebody from outside the organization to help Puck close games. Puck pitches one day, gets the save. Marlins are in another one-run game the next day, no problem. Go to somebody else. Stop using Puck over and over again. It's not going to work.
You mentioned somebody else. So my last question on the bullpen is George Soriano. And I know Kevin Baral will like this question. This guy's been fantastic. I mean, he's mopped up several starts. He's come in and thrown several scoreless innings. Does this guy, I think he has late relief stuff. Does this guy get a look maybe in that position? Or what do you think?
I haven't heard that, but maybe so. I mean, Skip's, look, at this point, You gotta. I mean, Skip publicly is not gonna throw Puck under the bus. So
right,
but he's gotta consider somebody else. That's it. Maybe it's Soriano. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
But the other, in fairness to Skip, in May, if I said to you in 3 months from now we're gonna be doing a Spaces, and we're gonna be talking about guys that are saving games for the Marlins. And I told you back in May, one guy who's never going to get that chance, Dylan Floro, everyone will be throwing tomatoes at me. Like, what are you talking about? This guy's the best reliever that they have. And look what happened. So it's just the dynamic of a long season with a bullpen. They need new arms in the bullpen. They need at least one from some other team to help them out. It's got to happen.
We just saw two pretty good late-inning relievers with Colorado. Has there been any, you know, talk between those two teams? I know Daniel Bard looked really good, and Lawrence also looked really good.
I haven't heard those names come up.
Okay. No one from Colorado, not even Ryan McMahon, any left-handed bat?
I haven't heard a single player on the Rockies come up except for Diaz, and that was, you know, and I think that Miami is sort of resigned to the fact that whatever catching moves that they're going to make is going to probably have to come at the offseason. I think just their catching situation is what it is the rest of the year.
Chase. All right,
Ryan, you got anything else? Sorry, Mr. Alex cut you off there. Hey, you got anything else for me? I think we got Marcelo in here.
Yeah, real quickly, I wanted to just ask. My dad wanted me to ask this, actually.
Well, then that's good.
And he's a super subscriber, so I think it counts.
Well, he can ask two questions then.
Yeah, but my dad wants to know, what's the latest timeline on Jazz Chisholm? Because he seems a little confused tonight. I know we all want him to come back.
Who's confused?
My daddy, he doesn't know when he's going to come back. He wants to come back.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he has an oblique injury. He's got to get over that, and then he'll come back. I mean, I don't. Does anybody have maybe some? I mean, I don't know. Noah, I know he's in this listening. Maybe he got an update on something like that.
There is Jazz spoke to Marlins members today at a special event at the park, and he said he wants to get back by Friday for the Tiger series. He does have a history of overpromising when he is going to return. To put it gently.
Wait a second. Jazz has a history of overpromising and then not coming back. Like, I want to be back for the White Sox series and then coming back 4 weeks later. Is that kind of thing. You mean Jazz has said he's playing for Great Britain in the World Baseball Classic? Definitely, and did not play in the World Baseball Classic? That guy?
Yeah,
that same Jazz, the guy that said that he'd be back the first game after the All-Star break last year and then didn't play another game this year?
Yeah.
That guy? Oh, okay. Yeah, so I guess let's just go off what he says. He'll be back for Detroit.
Yeah, to give Ryan my best estimate, just based on following these rehab things and how they go, he hasn't started, I don't think he started swinging a bat yet. So he needs to do that.
Is that right?
And then it depends how quick the rehab assignment is. I imagine if he does go on a rehab assignment, it'd be very quick, only a couple of games. I think the best case scenario is, you know, right around the trade deadline, maybe right during that Phillies series or right afterwards. I think he is getting close, but there's still several steps away.
And Jazz is my guy, man. Like, I really like Jazz. Very receptive to understand how media work. He's been very extremely helpful to me. Last year when there was a lot of discourse going on, I was able to talk to him about just his feelings about, I mean, I really like this guy. Like, I really do. But you know, if there are 9 things out of 10 that Jazz is amazing at, and you said to me, well, give me the one that he's not, it's his own injuries. He's horrendous at it. He is absolutely the worst. He does not understand the injuries and how things work. Remember he had the turf toe? He said he'd be back the next day, right? Didn't he say that after? And then he ended up missing it. He used to tell me last year, I don't know if you guys remember last year when Donnie had him batting, what was it, at the end of the lineup and sitting against lefties and stuff? Remember all that?
Yeah, he was batting 9th at the beginning of the season.
Right, and then I would ask him, like, hey, what's going on here? And he would always tell me, just enjoy the ride, Mish. Enjoy the ride. I'm like, okay, all right, fair enough. He's like, just go with it. I'm like, okay, I'll go with it. Sure, no problem.
You're right. I mean, when it comes to diagnosing his own injuries, he's been a little bit off in his return. You know, the guy wants to play. Of course he wants to play. The guy's
They miss him a lot. Definitely.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
a massive. Loss right now to the lineup for sure, and not only that, but Dane Myers is like, Dane is just—he looks so good when he came up. I was like sold, and now it's like, oh my gosh, like it looks like
I saw him adjusting back. Yeah, you got to adjust back. I mean, he looked good when he first came up, but the good thing about Dane is that he has positional flexibility to other areas of the team.
Yeah, he practiced at third base. I don't know if that was important. But he practiced today at third.
Let's go. That's what you want to see. You want to see it. Like, the guy's not a center fielder. He's not going to be a center fielder. He can do it in the corner outfield, but he told me and Kevin Burrell he's most comfortable at third and first base, and that's his long-term role. I mean, he's a third baseman, first baseman. That's what he can do.
I agree. Look, Jazz told me he was coming back and he's going to be a catcher, so we'll just keep an eye on that when he comes back. And see.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thanks, guys, for letting me speak and ask you guys a question. And as always, everyone listening, go become a super subscriber to Fish on First. Cause
there you go, Ryan.
You get a lot of great perks, and I really appreciate all the work that everyone does over at Fish on First and everything you do, Craig, for reporting for the Marlins and writing for Miami Herald.
You got it, Ryan. Be well, man. Say hi to your dad.
Real quick, Noah's got a Jazz update, he says. I'll let him get the floor.
So it's not really an update. It's more of a just what everyone said. Yeah, he keeps saying he'll be back tomorrow. He's not going to be back for a bit. Everybody relax. He hasn't even started swinging yet. He's barely taking any reps or anywhere. Everyone needs to just relax. He needs to do a rehab assignment. It's not going to be for another maybe week or two. And also just going back on the puck situation. Skip has pretty much said Puck is the guy, even though Puck's pretty much going to run out of gas at some point. And yeah, that's just pretty much what's been going on. But with Jazz, everyone just needs to just chill. He's not going to be back for a bit. He needs to do a rehab assignment. And once you see him go to a rehab assignment, then you can start talking about Jazz coming back.
Yeah, and again, I want to reiterate, Noah, I think Puck can still be the closer of the Marlins. I just think that if he closes the game on a Tuesday and they play on a Wednesday, they should consider using somebody else.
Right.
On that.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's all. Just to keep this guy fresh for the rest of the season. Skip has done what Donnie never did. No disrespect to Donnie, but in games they were down 3-0, you know, it was like, all right, you know, let's throw in Dozawa, you know, or whatever, you know, like. But in this case, he fights it for every game, for every win. It's quite refreshing to see. But those wins in April and May are catching up to them now because of the usage, in my opinion. And listen, somebody could be listening to this and say, oh, Craig doesn't know what he's talking about. He's on the outside, whatever. I could be totally wrong. I'm no expert in the subject. But all I know is what I see. And I don't think it's just like a coincidence that AJ Puck can't get anybody out in July coming off having a dead arm in June. Like, I mean, oh, just a shocking coincidence if this is the case. I don't think so. I think there's something to it. And I think Puck could be one of the best left-handed closers in baseball. But I think you got to just limit him a little bit. That's all. Like, you just cannot pitch this dude every day. It's just not going to work.
Yeah. They need help from somebody else. And like Noah was saying, oblique is like one of the trickiest injuries to deal with. Not that I'm a doctor, but
I'm sure everybody has better questions. Let's talk about something else.
True. All right, let's go on. Go ahead, Grant.
All right, Marcelo is next. He's been waiting patiently. Marcelo, super subscriber. You've got the floor, man. What do we got tonight?
Hey, Craig, I have just one question and a statement. So my question is, you told us what you thought they should get, which is a bullpen arm, a starter, and a bat, but do you know what their priority actually is? What have they communicated towards you and the rest of the media? Do they want, like, where are they going to spend most prospect capital? Is it in a bullpen arm, a closer, a starter? And if you can name names, that would be awesome.
That's the hard part, right?
Yeah, and second, the statement is, I'm going to try to be clear here, tienes que seguir tuiteando en español hasta que perdamos. No lo puedes cambiar.
We have Daniel Alvarez in here.
He said to continue tweeting in Spanish until they lose.
Gotcha. Well, listen, some of those tweets, I got to be honest with you, come with help from Daniel Alvarez. Okay, I'm just going to be honest. Those are not all fully constructed by me. Whenever the Marlins lose a lot, I feel like I got to step in and stop the losing streak. And here I did it again. I did it again. So, if they, you know, that's it, though, probably for the season. I got to be honest. You don't get a lot of mulligans with me to do stuff like that. But after losing 8 in a row, it had to be done. And I stopped the losing streak today. I almost blew it in the 9th inning with AJ Puck. But, yes, it was all me. No, I'm just kidding. But, anyway.
I feel like I deserve some credit. For donuts to the press box, undefeated. Undefeated when I bring donuts to the press box.
All right, well, Noah, you can feel that way. It's probably,
can I start paying up, Noah, then?
Yeah, as far as names are concerned, we're still in the same situation that we were a couple of weeks ago, which is 20 to 22 teams still feel like they're in it and buying. We now are seeing, like, the Mets' possibility of selling. I think now the Cardinals probably have, you know, even though the Cardinals had that nice little run, I think they have to be realistic with that. But it's still a situation where everybody still feels like they are in it. So it's really hard for me to name names when, you know, there really are not names to name. Like, there isn't a player right now that they're, like, very close to acquiring. You know, I know that there are, like, pitchers out. I'll give you an example. There, you know, Lance Lynn is the name of a pitcher who was out there. He's, you know, the White Sox are going to trade Lance Lynn, in my opinion. He does not, you know, move, you know, the needle so much as he would have in the past. You know, he's still owed a lot of money for the rest of the year. He's had a miserable season with the White Sox. But if the Marlins were to get Lance Lynn and you closed your eyes and said, what would 6 starts from Lance Lynn look like? It would look like he would make every start. He'd pitch 5-6 innings. He'd give up 3 runs. And no one would be excited about that at the trade deadline. But that's it could be the kind of move that they make. They're not close to a trade with him, but like that's the kind of guy that is out there, expiring contract type player that I think that there'd be a possibility in. So that's one name, I guess, to at least talk about.
And what position do you think they're going to spend the most?
I think they're going to get a pitcher.
Starter?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Craig.
All right, thank you, Marcelo. We've got the other Danny Rodriguez in here for his question. He's got
the better one.
Hey, the Craig. Other one isn't here to fight back.
hey, Craig, real quick, I'm wondering just if there's a certain reason. I mean, I'm sure the Marlins knew that they were kind of running on a little bit of luck in the first half. Was there a reason they didn't try and pounce and take advantage of that and not make a trade, let's say, 2-3 weeks before the deadline? Now I know it's a week before the deadline, so you kind of know where you're at anyways, but especially with how tight the wild card race is, I feel like having like a Candelario on the team an extra 2 weeks would make a huge difference. And
right.
if there was a reason that they decided not to be as aggressive and be a little bit more passive until I'm sure something will go down August 1st, but I feel like making moves in the middle of July would make a big difference.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair question, but unfortunately we deal in Major League Baseball with an industry that does everything at the last minute. It's not just the Marlins, it's everybody. And I think outside of Aroldis Chapman and the pitcher from Oakland named Fujinami that got traded, you've seen zero deals done in July. So what I told somebody in the dugout the other day, I don't remember who it was we here in South Florida, in an alternate universe, the people in Phoenix have, Phoenix on First podcast, and they cover the Diamondbacks, and they're thinking the exact same thing. Why didn't we get the guy? We lost four in a row. Blah, blah, blah. We haven't made the playoffs in 30 years. Everyone is going through the same thing. So while they would love to get Candelario, for sure, he's not attainable because the ask is just so ridiculous at this point. And on top of it, the other dynamic that's happened here is the Angels have not made clear what they're going to do with Shohei Ohtani. And if you are a team right now in baseball that wants to add and add a player like that, how can you possibly trade your prospects for Candelario when you have a shot at Ohtani? I think once the Angels determine what they're going to do here, whether it's keeping him or trading him, and even though they've said basically they're going to keep him, you haven't heard anything publicly, but once teams are aware that he is not available and maybe Juan Soto is not available, then I think the market opens up because then you see the top prospects from the teams that are looking to acquire starting to trade for other players. But if I am Baltimore and I can get Stroman, Do I do that now, or do I wait to see if Otani's going to be available because maybe I can just give up the same thing and get Otani? Of course we're going to wait because Stroman will always be there for me, and I think that's what's happening right now. And yes, I agree, maybe Miami could have done something a week or two ago to help them, but they're not alone. Everyone is doing the same thing. The market is completely dead right now. The market is not dead for people who just have rumors because there's just no facts right now. There's no trades happening, nothing.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Craig. That's all I got, guys.
Yep.
All right. Who do we have next? I saw Loud Marlins fan loading in. Eli's got it under control. Okay. I believe he's in. So, floor is yours.
Is that for me? Sorry.
It is.
Awesome. All right, Craig, I hope you get a super subscriber button. I would love to subscribe to you. And we could squash any beef we have, but I have two questions for you. Last year, on August 7th, you said that on a state of the Marlins, that if Garcia does not turn it around, you could see the Marlins cut him before the contract around this point. Can he be dealt, or do you believe it'll come to a DFA?
He can be dealt if they have to make a deal to take money back. It would have to be some sort of money swap, like we talked about Ozuna that everybody clowned before. And I think most people would rather have Ozuna right now, that's for sure. So that would be, it's like a bad for bad type contract. You know, one scenario that came up, and again, this was not any trade proposal or anything like that, but if you think through Salvador Perez, maybe that would be something that if, yeah, and by the way, I do not believe Salvador Perez getting traded for the Marlins at all, but if he was, and the Royals got desperate, maybe Miami would be able to say, you know, swallow, wow, we got to pay Salvador Perez another $20 million next year, and I think the year after, will you take Avisel Garcia back in return to kind of cut that money in half? And that would be the thinking, I think. I think that's the only way that would happen. As far as going into next year, I would be shocked if Avisel Garcia was back with Miami next year. So they so whether it's a DFA or just some sort of bad for bad contract, I think that I would think his time here is done playing. But we've seen stranger things happen. I saw Jorge Alfaro playing left field. You know, things happen.
Yep. Thank you. My second question is, I've heard the names of Maikel Garcia from the Royals, Candelario from the Nationals, and I've heard that they talked to try to get Josh Hader, but unfortunately he doesn't want to sign a long-term deal here, so that may not work out. Have you heard anything on those three names I just mentioned?
I know that they've talked to Kansas City about a lot of different things, and I believe that Kansas City likes Maikel Garcia a lot, so I don't think that's, I mean, I'm not disrespecting anything, but I just don't think that's accurate. Again, they would love to have Candelario. I had heard that before Gene Segura got hot, then Segura got hot, and then I didn't hear it anymore. And I don't know if they feel comfortable with going with Gene or if they feel like they could upgrade. Maybe they would upgrade there by getting Candelario. I still think that's probably a smart thing to do. Josh Hader's name, I have not heard anything regarding him. Miami right now, the relievers that are potentially on the board for them, it's really easy to find. It's the bad teams, the guys expiring, and the ones with like somewhat controllable relievers with good FIP and good ERA. This is a very easy thing to find. You guys can do the same thing and come up with the same names as far as the relievers are concerned. I haven't heard any of like those of the Hader types, you know, Edwin Diaz types. I have not heard that.
Awesome. Appreciate you. And if the Marlins make the playoffs, the Harrison jersey is yours. As a gift.
Oh, wait a second. I thought that you sold it, you liar.
I didn't say I sold it. I said it has a home, which is on my wall.
Oh, my gosh. All of that for nothing. All of that for nothing. Unbelievable. All right, well. All right. Two Live crew. We'll wait for your next dance.
Awesome.
That was great. That was great. All right, we've got Romeo, one of our original super subscribers, on deck. Someone's already asked about Justin Lawrence, so I don't know what he's got.
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's still going to be about Lawrence. I got to ask Craig, why do you think that we haven't engaged at all for someone like him? He really dominated us the last
Who?
Years. Last,
I'm sorry,
Justin Lawrence. Do you think it's the rock of like just being?
Can one of you guys take a look at Lawrence's contract situation? Because off the top of my head, I don't know it.
He's got a million years of club control remaining. He's still pre-arbitration eligible.
So Eli just gave you the answer there. You know, the Rockies are not going to just no team is going to hand over 4 years of club control. It doesn't work like. Without getting too far into it, but I gotta make sure that I give you guys stuff to come out of here. You should be looking at the White Sox relievers. You should be looking at the Tigers relievers. You should be looking at Oakland's massive relievers that they have left. Kansas City. I'm positive that those are names that are still, you know, up for discussion. The one thing that I always will do with any of this stuff when I talk to you guys, if I have heard a name, I will tell you. Sometimes I can't volunteer stuff just because it's too sensitive in nature and I just don't want to hurt anyone. But I don't know why they haven't gone for Lawrence, but I think Eli gave you the best explanation. If you have 4 or 5 years of club control, what would that's going to cost a lot for the Marlins. You know, that is going to cost a major piece. And typically it's It's not something that you do. You typically do not trade high-end pieces for bullpen arms. You just don't. It historically doesn't happen. I thought last year is a great example of a miserable thing to do. I mean, the Orioles got one of the best relievers in baseball for a guy that's not even on the Twins anymore, if I'm not wrong, right? This guy Lopez that was traded for Yennier Cano. I mean, think about that. Like, this guy Cano is like, I mean, he could be a closer on 25 teams in baseball, and they traded for an expiring deal on this guy Lopez, and that's it. So you got to be super careful with those kind of deals. But your question is very fair. He does look like a good pitcher, and he's done a great. And that guy Lawrence has done a great job. Pierce Johnson, I think, was closing in Bard at the beginning, and now this guy Lawrence has taken over. So
yeah, free agent in 2029 for Justin Lawrence.
Yeah, there's no chance. I take it back. There's not no chance, but the cost to acquire something like that is astronomical.
All right, Romeo. Any other questions? It doesn't look like we have anyone on deck. Eli should be getting one, but Romeo, yeah, you still got the floor right now.
Okay. It's not more of a question. It's more of a statement. Okay. And I was going to say, This win today is what this team needed, and they needed it bad. I feel like it'll like Craig has been saying. I think it's more of they needed to win more than to just get back into the swing of things. Start smiling again, and that's one way you can do it was with a walk off. You needed to start. And Soler, I feel like he's going back to what he was doing back in 22. He's expanded his zone. I think he just needs to, I think he needed a day off, but due to the fact of Cooper ending up being sick, that ended up ruining his off day.
I don't know if that's true or not. I would maybe Noah would more know more about that than me. I never heard that, but you could be right.
What was the question?
It wasn't a question. It was more of a statement, but
that Soler was due a day off? Did you hear anything about that or not?
Soler, dude, no, the team has a day off tomorrow.
Yeah, so so your statement. What is your name? I'm sorry.
It's me, Romeo.
Oh, what's up, man?
So
yeah, so look, I think the win is important, but it's also important to have perspective. They won a game in extra innings by one run against the team missing 17 guys on the injured list and also not having two guys, best players in their lineup today, not playing, in Chris Bryant and CJ Krohn. Their third best player is Charlie Blackmon. He was out too. This is a horrendous Colorado Rockies team. They should have won every game by seven runs in this series. But what you're seeing is who they are, which is a team that is sort of a team that's going to have to piece together runs, but is going to need those great pitching performances from Lizardo, from Cabrera, from Sandy, from Cueto, you know, from Yuri, from Trevor Rogers. They got to go back to that in the next 2 months. It's going to be painful. There's going to be a lot of one-run games again. They're going to need some crazy things to happen maybe to win those games. They may not get it. It's going to be very hard to beat LA six times and Houston three. And Philly 3, and Texas 3, and Tampa. I mean, they have a brutal schedule. And the Yankees, it's going to be very hard to do. But the only way they're going to be able to do it is if they get some pitcher to come up or start for them, pitch five innings, and give up two runs, and the score is 2-2, and then they got to try and win. They are not going to win games 7-3 a lot like they did in the first half. These were wins against Oakland, Kansas City, Washington. 12 wins, 12-0. Those days are gone. And Chicago, it's not happening anymore. They got to be who they are. Go get a pitcher who can give them quality starts for the rest of the season. Call Yuri Perez back up at some point too, and roll with Sandy and Yuri Perez and whoever they acquire, along with Lizardo and Edward Cabrera. I'm worried again about Braxton Garrett. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. We'll see. I don't think he's hurt. I'm concerned. There you go.
Was that all you had, Romeo?
My opinion.
That's all I got for now.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Brian is becoming a recurring guest here. Hey, he's got some good questions. He's on deck. So, Brian, it's all you, man.
Hey, guys. Appreciate the time. Craig, thanks for being on. This first time I get to ask while you're on, but this is a question for anyone who can chime in on this. Obviously, we've seen Dane Meyers. It looks like he's starting to struggle, striking out a bit. What's the chance that we can see Xavier Edwards come up? I know he's played out there before, and maybe if Jazz is going to be out for a while, maybe they can swap time in center field and see who's going to be probably the best fit for the next month or two. What's the chance we can see Xavier Edwards come up? I think the guy's very deserving of the call-up again. He already has two RBIs in tonight's game. And then, obviously, we need help in the bullpen. You know, looking at the internal guys, what's the chance we see Sean Reynolds get up here pretty soon?
Yeah, I think Xavier Edwards, a lot of people share your opinion on that in the organization, and I think you're about to see him soon, whether it's Tampa or Detroit. I would be very surprised if he's not back within the next week. I think he's going to come back. As far as the relievers are concerned, Sean Reynolds, they absolutely could give an opportunity to, but I don't know that a team that's fighting for the wild card in the postseason is ready to turn over the eighth inning or ninth inning to Sean Reynolds. Now, we never would have thought that about George Soriano, and I think Alex made a good point earlier that he's looked so good that maybe they would want to consider that. So I think that that's in play. But I think their acquisition has to come from, a Kansas City, a Chicago, a Washington. You know, Washington also is another team. I know they're looking at their relievers too. So I think that it has to come from another team. I think that's and put one of those guys into a better spot, a winning spot. Listen, Tanner Scott came from Baltimore, Sulcer, they got him too. He didn't work out. But Tanner Scott came from a horrific spot when he was with the Orioles. They lost a million games and it took him some time to get used to winning. And here we are. So maybe they could acquire the reliever from one of these losing teams and put them in the clubhouse with Skip and everybody else. I don't think they have any internal options that are ready to pitch the eighth and ninth inning. Let's also, circle back here. One other thing before I stop, and you guys can say whatever, is that the Matt Barnes experiment was obviously a failure too. I know it was more of a money swap for Blyer, and I get that. But from the day that Matt Barnes came, it was very evident that he did not have the stuff that they thought that he had previously. And even though they said initially, if you guys remember, that he was going to be part of the back end of the bullpen, that never was the case. Matt Barnes, unfortunately, just did not have the back end type stuff. So another player that they've lost that they essentially have not replaced, right? Like with George Soriano, that's sort of been the replacement there. They got to go outside. They got to get somebody from the outside.
It's open for anyone else on Fish on First who wants to answer this question.
I don't know of how juggling these guys around who are natural infielders, or not natural infielders, because Dane Meyers is a natural pitcher who has moved positions. But I think Xavier is best at second base. That's where he's made most of his career. They've put him in center field because they don't have center field depth. He's done okay there in Triple A. He's been okay. And that would be where he would, as Craig said, be probably pushed into with the Marlins. But man, I would worry about the same things. Yes, he has speed. Yes, he's fast. But I would worry about the strain on him, continuing to learn that position at a tricky ballpark like Lone Depot and then continuing to perform at the plate. I don't know. It would be interesting. It would be an interesting move to make. You would take the pressure off of Dane because he would be better at third base or first base. And then, you put the strain on, you put the same strain on Xavier. So I don't know, man. Interesting topic. But
listen, if Dane Meyers goes another 0-7, Alex, I hate to break it to you, but
he'd be go down.
This is not going to last much long. I mean, isn't Dane Meyers? Does he have a hit in the last like 6 or 7 games? I don't think so, right? And he hasn't walked all year.
Yeah, but I think a lot of those outs that he's made, he was 0-8 to finish off the St. Louis series, and he has run into some really tough luck. So yeah, you're right. The results haven't been there like they were when he first.
How many walks does Dane Meyers have this season?
One walk.
You think that's enough to be sustained?
That's, that's crazy.
Next question.
Next question.
I think he could be a player for sure, but it's very odd. Listen, this is the same thing as Jesus Sanchez from last year and this year and every other year. No one knows who you are. You get called up to the big leagues. There's very limited data. It's all from the minor leagues. The minor league scouts are not as good as the pro scouting departments. The pro scouts get the video, follow you around in person and on video, And then JT Realmuto sees a video and says, oh, just throw him a, you know, high and outside fastball right outside the plate. Oh, great. We'll strike out Dane Meyer seven times now. The end. This is what happens, and then you have to adjust. And the best in the league do it and become superstars, and the other guys go back down. And it may take going back down. It's nothing against Dane, but it's just the reality. I mean, it's very obvious that they haven't figured out right now.
Yeah, league adjustment is a thing, and Dane's going through it right now. But what I meant to say, as I said before, is positional strain is a real thing. You see Dane going through. He's played center field a lot. It's not a position he's played a ton ever.
He's been fine. He's been good enough to get through it. I don't think that that's, you know, I think Xavier Edwards or Dane or Jazz, you know, they're none of them are elite center field. I guess Jazz played an elite center field for about a month, but look, they still don't have a center fielder, and anybody they put out there, it's going to be about the same defensively. So if Dane's going to go another 0-for-9 with 5 strikeouts, they may as well give Xavier Edwards a shot. And I'd love to see Dane back later this year or even this year. Who knows? But they cannot have a guy who cannot get on base at all and just pray for a double. It's just not sustainable.
Agreed.
Can I just chime in one more question?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I mean, just so you know, like, X is, I think, Xavier, he's hitting about, like, 353 right now, so it'd be great if we see him there next week. Last thing I want to ask, if we do go all out and we trade a bunch of prospects for whatever positions we need in a major league club, in a major league team, and let's say we do fall short of the postseason, what happens this offseason? Do you think Kim Mack would probably be gone? Do you think Sherman considers a sell? What is the worst case scenario right now? You would say if we do go all out.
Okay, so the two questions is what again? Ask me very specifically.
So if we go all out and we sell all our prospects for the positions of need, right?
Okay.
And we miss the postseason.
And how many games do the Marlins win?
You're talking about from here to October?
No, just total at the end of the season. What is that number? What is the amount of wins?
Let's say they go like 80 in the 80s, and they fall short of a wild card spot, for example.
So, like 83 wins or something like
that? Yeah, 82, 83, maybe. Yeah, we fall short.
And then what happens? And then what happens with Kim is what you're asking? And then, what was the second part of what you say about Bruce Sherman?
Does he consider selling?
Okay, so that's the easiest part. So, we'll start from the back and then we'll move to the forward here. Hold on a second. One second. Bruce Sherman is not selling the Marlins. Okay, so that's not happening. You know, I never say never to anything, but that would be the least likely scenario for me. I don't think that that's going to happen, so I'll start with that. As far as Kim is concerned, look, this is the last year of her contract. I think overall that the job that she's done this year, there's no question that she gets high marks for it, for sure. I don't know what would happen. That's, you know, obviously above my pay grade to know exactly what that decision would be. Is it a certain amount of wins? Is it the result of what happens here at the deadline? I really can't answer that. I guess I would say I would probably be surprised if they made a change at general manager if they won 83 games. I guess I probably would be surprised. If they won 78 games, I may not be surprised. Because that would mean they completely collapsed here in the next couple of months, and I think that someone would have to be accountable for that. So I really don't know what the answer would be, and I guess I'm going to kind of go into the assumption that Kim will be back next year, just based on what I've seen thus far. But it's a brutal schedule in August, and if we came on and we did another one of these spaces the first week in September, and you told me the Marlins went 7-20 in August, would we be shocked? No one would be shocked. It's just the nature of what's gone on. So let's see. Let's wait and see. And, listen, if something happens, you'll hear it from me. That's for sure.
Appreciate the time, guys.
Yes, thank you very much.
Did I answer that clearly enough?
Yeah, that was good, Craig. I appreciate it.
Okay, yeah. Bruce Sherman is not selling the Marlins. No one ever needs to ask me that anymore.
We've got Cole up next, who's been waiting a while. I don't believe we have any more super subscriber requests, so if anyone else has a question, it's your time to request, but it's Cole's turn. So, Cole, if you got any questions, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. So, it's been said that, like, one of the biggest tests that culture can face
is when you start losing. So I guess for Craig and whoever's just kind of been close to the Marlins team, what have you noticed about, you know, the clubhouse, the mood, the atmosphere during this skid?
Sure. So, look, Noah's here. He could, you know, obviously answer because he's in the clubhouse way more than I am. I have probably been in the clubhouse myself. In the spring, I go a lot. But in the regular season, I've probably been 5-6 times maximum this season. I am just no longer a huge believer of getting to the game at 3:30. What happens is the way that I attack it is that if I'm going to say something negative about somebody, or if I feel like I need an explanation or somebody needs an explanation of me, that's when I show up and I just basically, you know, put myself out there that if anybody, you know, takes issue with me or has something to say, then I'm there to do that. What I usually do is I show up usually right before Skip talks at 4:00, because I feel at that point I'm going to probably get everything that I need. Now, that's not saying that I don't talk to these guys, which I do on the side, and I haven't gotten the sense at all of any worry, whereas that has been very different in years past, especially last year in particular. Last year was probably the most negative vibe I've gotten, you know, maybe since, you know 2000, whenever Dan Jennings was hired, that was the one year that things just kind of, and I like Dan Jennings, but the players were not having that year. It was really unfortunate. But I haven't gotten the sense that anybody has quit. I haven't gotten the sense that anybody's upset. Every time I text, hey, we're going to get it going. Yep, okay, cool. You know, everything's still cool. Yep, it is. Skip, still very overwhelmingly positive about the whole situation. I think, I don't want to speak for Skip, but knowing him like I do, I think that he also, you know, looks back on the first half of the season and maybe will say it publicly or not, but also realizes, hey, there were some wins lumped in, that, you know, some good things happened, but there were also some, you know, some luck around along the way too for them to get to that point. And I think everybody sees that as well. But I don't sense any negativity at all. Guys quitting, fighting with each other. Everybody really likes each other there. They have a really good clubhouse. And unless, like I said, Noah's in there a lot more than me if he sees something different. But you're really getting a lot of BS in a clubhouse, in an atmosphere like that. You're not going to get guys to really tell you exactly how they feel or what's going on, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, so what I've been noticing, I this was my first game back after the All-Star break because they've been on the road and then it was the weekend. But definitely the difference between before the game and after the game, you could definitely tell there was a lot of relief. But there's been a general feeling of optimism, like they're going to get through it, they're going to get through it. So there's no real worry. And throughout the season, the vibes in the room, is everyone bought in, and I don't think anyone's checked out at all.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. But reality definitely has set in a little more to where the record is. But you know, again, you look at their record now, and this is sort of who the team is. So I don't know if that answered your question. I'm definitely not the most, no longer probably will ever be the most qualified person to say what's the clubhouse vibe before and after, because I just don't do it nearly as much as I used to. Covering baseball for me has changed, I think, significantly. You can acquire information through phone calls and text messages, whereas baseball used to be more of a face-to-face type sport. So I don't have to do that as much. But as an example, without getting into, like, you know, much detail, like I will and have as recently as this week spent hours face-to-face with people in the organization to sort of get an idea as to what's going on, because I've dedicated my craft to making sure that I do FaceTime with these people in person. But it just doesn't come in the clubhouse because I just don't feel like I can accomplish it like I can on the side, if that makes sense.
Thanks. I appreciate the insight. One more question I guess I have is, like, assume we make the playoffs and, you know, everyone's performance is consistent. Do you have Sandy starting a playoff game?
Sandy starting a playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, assuming the current trajectories hold.
Oof, yeah, that's a great question. I would assume that he would start game one of a playoff game, but yeah, I guess it's a fair question. If he kept going like this the entire season, would he pitch game one of a wild card game? It's a fair question. Yuri Perez, is he in the big leagues at that time? He could go game one. I think Lizardo has been a better pitcher this year than Sandy. They could opt to do that in a game one situation. So I wouldn't say it's a guarantee. By gosh, Sandy would be so upset, I would think, if he wasn't the guy in game one. But the results do speak for themselves. You'd be hard-pressed to have him maybe go over Yuri or Lizardo. But beyond that, I would think it would be if they got in a wild card series and it went three games, I think those three pitchers would be the ones to pitch. I think those are who they trust the most. Unless they get somebody else, which I do think they will. So that may eliminate that Yuri part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a mistake to not have Yuri starting a playoff game later this year. But that's
if Yuri Perez didn't come up and start a playoff game this year and didn't come up at the end of the year, then this whole thing was for nothing. It would be crushed. We should be crushed if that's the case. It would make no sense whatsoever. Totally agree. Maybe six.
Sorry, is that all you got, Cole?
Yeah, I think that's all I got. Thank you, guys. I'll jump off. Thank you.
Isn't it amazing that people still ask about Sixto Sanchez? It's crazy.
I love seeing other fan bases put him in mock trade proposals. That's my favorite.
Kim was asked by MLB.com, you know, at what point you cut bait with him, and she said, not yet, not now. So no rush to get him off the 40-man either.
That's another question. I don't get it. Craig, I know you don't get it either.
No one claimed G.R. Encarnacion. No one wanted him, Alex. No one.
That's fair.
No one.
That's fair.
If that's what you're about to ask.
Different waivers.
No one wanted him. Zero. There wasn't a single team that wanted him. Is that what you were going to ask about?
So if they waive Sixto Sanchez off, he's still on the 40-man, right?
No one will claim Sixto Sanchez.
Right,
off
exactly.
Waivers.
So why is he still on the 40-man roster?
Because it's embarrassing to make a trade for JT Realmuto and not get anything back in return.
Exactly. So they're literally just waiting on him to try to maximize the investment, and he's not going to. I don't think he's going to do it. But maybe
of course that's the reason. Why do you think Johnny Cueto's starting? You think because he's good? Because they just gave him $8 million.
That's another ridiculous thing.
And Patrick Monteverdi and all these guys at AAA, they bust their ass their entire life.
Right, you're right.
To see this guy come in, and then let's set a precedent just because the guy's making $8 million, we got to call him up to the big leagues.
Since we're on the topic, and I don't want to cut off anybody else that wants to speak, trust me, and I don't want to go too long, what does that say to minor league baseball players that are busting their ass and performing well just because this man, Johnny Cueto, or whoever it may be, is making money, that they're going to be part of the major league team in the middle of what is supposed to be a winning season? Explain.
This is the business that they have chosen, and this is the game, okay. and every team does it. Some teams do it differently. That is true. Some teams will not do what the Marlins did. You know, some organization that's a $300 million payroll will just say, hey, $8 million, that's nothing in this game. Goodbye. We don't want you. The Marlins cannot afford to do that.
Right.
And look, this may end up working out for them in the end for the last couple of months. It's very possible. He looked obviously very good against Colorado. No taking that away. How somebody goes from throwing 87 to AAA in 94, maybe we should be asking that question because I have no idea. But it is what it is. This is baseball. You are familiar with your buddies in Jacksonville and Pensacola, and there's somebody across the country covering the Diamondbacks in Scottsdale that are thinking the same thing, Alex. How is it possible, you know, or Cincinnati, how is it possible that Will Myers gets to be on the Cincinnati Reds the whole season batting 170, whatever, and then the Reds just cut him and they ate the money. So it does happen. It has not happened with this. Maybe the Marlins made the right decision with Cueto by keeping him around because he pitched very well. Who knows? Maybe this ends up working out.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, the look of him in that start was very good. I will admit that I was very surprised. I think all of us were.
Everybody was surprised.
But, yeah, when you're allowing two, three, four home runs to minor league hitters, and then you come in and do what he did. Yes, that's impressive. Dude, he's a next start, man, because you know the recency bias, too. If he comes in next start and he does what he did in AAA, it's going to be
a good story. So. Who knows? He faces the Tigers next. He could easily mow them down, too.
Let's see. Anyways.
All right. We've got Juan here, who was requested for a while. Apologies about the wait, man, but now's your time to ask us the question.
All right. So my question is, like, is there any, like, projected return for Sixto Sanchez? Like,
no.
any update, like.
Is this Ryan again?
No.
Who is this?
It's Juan. It's Juan.
Juan, listen to me, Juan. It's nice to meet you. I'm Craig. How are you?
Nice to meet you, too. Good.
Sixto Sanchez is finished. He's never going to pitch in Major League Baseball ever again. He has no future whatsoever with the Marlins or anyone else. The only difference between him and Victor Mesa in the Bahamas with the Pigs is that they traded a player that is a potential Hall of Famer, and they just are hanging on to dear life for hope that this guy can come back and do something. It's never going to happen. He's constantly injured. He previously, I don't know how things have gone over the past year, but he's had a very poor work ethic in the past, which has caused a lot of the problems that he's had. I have nothing against him personally, but it is not going to happen. And there's no reason to ask about the player anymore. I don't cover other teams in Major League Baseball like I cover the Marlins. I cannot believe that the Los Angeles Dodgers would have their public relations staff come out there and ask about a player who hasn't been on a field in three games and continue to give injury updates on the guy. Maybe it's a rule that you have to because it's on the 40-man. I don't know. I would have to ask the PR staff on that. But it's done. It's over. There's no reason to talk about him ever again. He's not coming back.
All right.
Sorry. That's it.
Hey, it's a good question, though, man. You have any more questions?
Is there another one?
No, I don't have any other questions.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to rain on your parade today. And I know that, look, he pitched very well in that season that he had, but he came in totally out of shape the next year, hadn't thrown in the offseason, hurt right away, didn't stick around when they wanted him to stick around, went in other places, posted a video of himself looking like he was in 11U Little League Baseball. He couldn't even throw. Tried to tell a local reporter that he was throwing hard 90 miles an hour and wanted him to put it out there with that. And then the reporter asked, can you give me the video so I could say it? And then he never sent the video. It's just, forget it. Just forget it. I'm sorry. I think there's a better chance Victor Mesa comes back, honestly, than this guy. I'm just being honest.
All right.
Okay, so the next guy who's going to ask a question, I just wanted to introduce them specially because they do so much work for the Marlins, running the Marlins Discord, and with the audience questions, just throwing off everybody and anybody when they were with Jeopardy. Ivan from the Marlins Discord, he goes by Navi. If you got any questions, go ahead, but just thank you for everything you do for the Marlins community.
Thanks for the introduction. Special. Craig, I usually don't ask questions because I feel like everyone's being repetitive and no. But I just wanted to maybe gauge this. I respect refraining from name dropping targets, sensitive, I can stand that. We'll ask two questions, answer yes or no, or you can give as much detail as you want. The questions are as follows. Are other teams receptive to receiving players recovering from injuries, such as Meyer, Jake Heeter, Dax Holton, Rogers, Bender, etc.?
Right.
That's question number one. And question number two is, do you think the Marlins are willing to relinquish players from the top of the farm, or will we see more trades comparable to some trades we saw, such as Wendell for Kent Meisner, Brady Allen for Jonathan Davis, Stallings for, you know, Nicholas Scott and Thompson, where the Marlins gave up some lower-level players for players that turned into major league pieces?
Okay, well, first of all, thanks for the question, Navi. Second, the one thing that I would say that if you follow me pretty closely, there definitely is that element of me not giving up the names or talking very specifically about names and targets that I've heard. But what I would also say is that if you followed my work closely, after it's all said and done, as I've always talked about, usually a lot of this stuff does show up in the Miami Herald after the fact. I've noticed that in the past. That's really, you know, sometimes they get mad at me for doing that. But usually after it's over and I know that there's nothing to talk about again and there's no deals happening, usually that stuff happens and then I get yelled at a little for doing it. But I still am going to do it, and I'm going to do it again this year too. Mm-hmm. But as far as giving up the players that you talked about, unfortunately at this point, Dax Fulton is really not going to be a target for a lot of people. You know, he did have a serious surgery again. He's going to be out, I think, a long time again. So as far as, like, you know, the thing is, Navi, is no one can go right now. No scout from, I'm going to throw a team out with no attribution here, just as a random, the Nationals. Mike Rizzo, the general manager, cannot send one of his scouts to go see Dax Fulton pitch. He can't do it. And it's important to be able to see the guy pitch. You can actually see Max Meyer throw if you want. You can watch Jake Eater throw in a game if you want. You can watch Carson Milbrand or Zach McCambly or Evan Fitter or any of these other guys. So that's what makes it problematic, more so for Dax Fulton than for Meyer. But Meyer, obviously, a little problematic too because he's not pitching in games. So I don't know that the probability, what I would put the probability on those guys moving, but if they were to trade somebody for the future, they would obviously have to get something very good back in return. As far as major deals being made, in order for that to happen, they would have to go into this deadline winning pretty much, I think, every game. Until, like, they have to beat Tampa Bay twice, and I think Detroit, they've really fallen back. It is not in the standings, which is sort of the mental aspect of where the team is at. You could see that there are now some serious holes. So sacrificing a lot for the future just to, you know, sniff that third wild card may not be what they do. But I would tell you that when they were 14 games over, boy, I heard some, spare no player type expense to get in this thing. I haven't heard necessarily a lot of pullback from that, but I just think it's sort of expected at this point that because of where they're at, they would probably, not mortgage a ton for the future just to get in this year. But I think they would like to. I think they would like to do it, and I think they're going to make trades to try and do it. Was there a name, a specific name you were looking for from me?
No. I actually didn't want a name. I understand that. What I was saying is, like, you kind of touched it. You said when they were 14 games above 500, you were like amazed by some of the offers.
So they're 14 games over 500. I talked to some people. What would it take to get Juan right. Soto? Wouldn't that be amazing? How does that happen? Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you've lost 8 in a row, and the Padres are 4 games behind you. I think the Padres aren't going to trade Soto, but I think the Padres have also discussed him with other teams to say, hey, what would a deal look like if it ended up happening? Let's not forget, Miami spoke to Cleveland about Jose Ramirez before Jose Ramirez was extended. Cleveland did their due diligence to make sure that, hey, if we can't extend this guy and we have to make a trade, we got to know who we're dealing with. That's what some of the best front offices do. I'm guessing that AJ Preller, the general manager of the Padres, called the Marlins. He probably called Arizona. He probably called LA. He's probably called the Orioles and said, hey, look, we don't plan on trading Juan Soto, but if we did, what does that look like? And I think that's a lot of what's probably going on right now just because so many teams are close that are in it. But, if the Marlins were 14 games over 500 and the Padres were 7 games under, I think the Marlins would try to get Juan Soto. Yeah, like I do, but we're not in that spot anymore.
That's amazing.
And pay him $30 million next year?
It's Juan Soto, man. I don't know how you don't look at that and say you got to do it. Yeah, but how do you do that now? I don't know that you can.
I wasn't gonna say it because it's not Marlins related, but
is it $30 million for Juan Soto next year?
Well, he's going into arbitration, so you pay him whatever the arbitration value is.
And is it 30? That was it. Would it be 30?
He's at 24, I think. I'm not an expert. I think the last thing is in the high 20s.
He's one of the record breaking arbitration deals. But you know, I'm not an expert.
My opinion only. I think yes. I think that if the Marlins thought they could get Juan Soto, and they thought that they could win the division, or be the number one wild card, and were in that position, I think that they would entertain it. Yes, I do think that they would. But I just don't. I don't feel like they're in the same position they were a week ago.
Of course, that's not at all what I expected as an answer coming into that question. Only thing I'll say, and it's not Marlins related, but I'll say it just because you brought it up earlier, you reiterated it. You report the offers that were on the table or what things went exchanged. I joked around last week with some friends. Like, I just hope that after the deadline, we hear every single offer and request that the Angels had for Ohtani. So that in 5 years' time, we can judge how the trade went, just like judge the Stanton trade and said, what would have happened if he was traded to the Cardinals or the Giants or whatever. Like, I want to go back and see how much did the Angels lose out on by trading Ohtani.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that would be – I think the Angels are going to end up looking back like they should have done it, probably. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for the answer.
No problem. I don't think you're enough there.
No, yeah, you're awesome.
All right, apologies. Is anyone speaking? I don't want to interrupt anyone again. I know it's been a minute. But we got Jab next.
Yep.
No one is. Yep. And Craig, just want to let you know, since it's getting late, we've been doing this for a minute. If you want to slide out, just let us know.
Okay.
All right, Jab, it's all you, man.
Let's wrap up at 9, guys.
Awesome. Yeah, first I just want to say thank you to Craig for taking some ultra valuable time out of his day for this. You know, it means a lot to all of us in here that, you know, you do this kind of stuff and give us this kind of information. So I just want to say thank you for that real quick.
No problem.
And I had some connection issues earlier, and I had to pop out. I don't know if this question was answered, but referring back to the draft, I know they obviously took Noble Meyer. Was Jacob Wilson their number one pick on their board, so to speak?
I think so.
Awesome. Well, thank God for Oakland. Thank you so much, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, just to call it out really quick, you know, I don't know, Craig, if you saw it, or I know we all saw it here, but Jab does a great job with, or did a great job this draft with, it literally analyzed every pick, gave a grade for every pick, which was super valuable. So
let me pull up the draft because there was another name here. Hold on a second. 2023 MLB draft?
Yep.
Yes, that is the year.
Was it the other Jacob
Gonzalez? Jacob Gonzalez, maybe?
No.
Jake Geloff?
No, Noah.
Stop it.
Noah,
enough.
Hell no, Noah.
It was a Fishman? Hold on a second.
Hey, now you're speaking my language.
I'll give you another name. Hold on, I can do that. I don't mind. Okay, let's see. Skeens, Cruz, Clark, Langford, Jenkins, Wilson, right? That was a name I heard. Lauder, Mitchell, Dollander, Noble Meyer.
Matt Shaw.
So exciting. No, Teal, Gonzalez, Eldridge.
Drum roll,
maybe it was
please.
A second. Maybe it was a second round pick. Hold on, bring Taylor.
Was it the UF kid? Okay, Yohani.
We're definitely not taking the
Yohani Morales. Was it Yohani Morales, Craig?
You know, I think he was a name involved too. It does sound familiar.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. On Friday we were talking about that.
I'm gonna have to not be able to do this because I really. Oh, Houck, I think that was a name.
That's a name that was definitely mentioned by DJ a bunch.
Yes, Houck.
That's Eli's
doing. Mr. Eli liked also, very much so. I didn't really see that, but yeah.
But I liked
it. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, DJ has his plans going in, and you know, he gets some guys, doesn't get other guys. So,
yeah, we'll
another
see.
Name, too. I don't know.
Those guys.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to do anything else because I just don't remember. There was one other name. I don't see here. I'm sorry, guys. I'm failing.
No, you're good. But yeah, Jab had like a grade for every pick. Like, he was a valuable resource in this draft. So
really good job by Jab. So appreciate your coverage of the draft, Jab. It's been awesome.
I had the privilege of meeting Mr. Jab the other night at the Marlins.
Same here.
But at Braxton's meltdown game against Colorado. Very nice guy. So yes, thank you, Jab.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and everyone else I was with.
You could have just used the date. You didn't have to point out that Braxton blew up.
Well, we were just bonding over the fact that it was 6-0 in the second inning. So that's what made me remember what game it was. No, thank you.
All right, next up, since we're kind of getting towards the end here, we got the Big O.
Okay.
Your question.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Craig, yes. I appreciate the work that you do. Honestly, I follow you a lot. My question centers around, I think, a match made in heaven, which is the Cardinals for a trade. And one of those trades is, so you can shut me down now, Nolan Arenado. What do you think of that?
No.
No, why?
Because he makes $1 billion.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, no, it's not. Look, I'm not trying to say that it's a terrible idea. It's just they're not going to pay that guy. So they're not going to pay anybody that money. It's never going to happen. Sorry, guys. Marlins are not going to have anyone making $250 million on the contract. It's never going to happen. Sorry.
All right, fair. That's fair. But my actual question is, of the 7 outfielders that they have,
can you guys, hold on 1 second. Can you guys excuse me 1 second here? How do I share the spaces?
A little Dropbox thing at the top, I believe.
Hold on, I'm going to share it here.
Yeah, the little arrow that's pointing up. Click on that.
Okay.
Should I be concerned that you're sharing it?
Don't worry, Noah. Okay.
Telling me not to worry is how I worry.
Okay, just give me another minute, and then I'll be back with you guys.
Well, I could ask it for the rest.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
How about one of the 7 outfielders that they have? Because honestly, I feel like our offense is putrid. The bottom half is rough to see. It feels like when once we get down against these teams, it's a mission to come back. Even though we do have a lot of comeback wins, but like that's been a part of the 8 losses is our ability to be very, very top heavy. And if Arraez and Soler isn't producing, so Cardinals outfielders.
They have a lot of outfielders. I think the 2 categories you got to really focus on. One, that outfielder can play an above average center field at least. And 2, he can bat from the left side. I think those are the 2 areas you look for. So you'll get Lars Nootbaar, which I don't see them parting ways with. You look at Dylan Carlson, who's been smoking hot since coming off the IL. I think those would be the names. But like I think Craig mentioned earlier, most of the resources will go to starting pitching when it comes to prospect capital. And those 2 names that I mentioned would certainly cost a lot. But yeah, when you look at any outfielders across the league that Miami may want, because I think they might want one, center fielder, one that can play center. It doesn't have to be, you know, an amazing defensive center fielder, but one that can at least fake it out there and can either switch hit or bat left hand. I think those are the 2 main criteria.
Did Lars Nootbaar get hurt today, guys? Did that happen today?
I think I saw that. Let me double check.
Yeah, Lars Nootbaar, that would be a great name. I'd give up anything to get him hired as GM the year after, but I really like that guy.
There's a guy in minor league baseball that can play outfield and corner outfield. I'll let Kevin ask this question. Kevin, go.
With Nootbaar, he left the game today with right heel soreness.
Yeah, so gosh, if he was hurt, that would suck for them. I think like Donovan is a good name. The Cardinals, like I think he could be their shortstop in the future. I think that would be a good target. I wasn't aware that Michaelis signed a long-term deal with the Cardinals, but that would be a perfect guy for this rotation. Like, you know, a 3-4 never hurt guy. You know, like that's exactly what they need. Like, play 200 innings, wants to go deep into the game. Can we find a guy like that?
Like that's a tough one. Lance Lynn would have been that guy. Except I don't know what the heck happened this year.
So you feel the Marlins need a starter more so than a bat?
Yeah, because I think they need a bat more, but I don't think one bat is going to help. I just don't think it's going to be enough. I think they're so far off the other teams offensively, so far behind Atlanta, so far behind Philadelphia, probably pretty far behind Arizona. Maybe on par with the Giants, maybe. But the Giants are like insane platoon team. So it's like, you know, who are they going to get that's going to supremely upgrade Segura that's not named Arenado? Who are they going to get that's going to supremely upgrade Wendell that's not Trey Turner? You know, who are they going to get that the catcher that's not named Adley Rutschman? You know, the names are just not out there to have unless they pull off one of those Jazz Gallen deals. Like, is that a deal that's out there? Maybe we should be asking ourselves that because I just, these rental pieces, that like it's Oscar Hernandez, like if Seattle trades him, like maybe that's, you know, somebody, you know, but is that going to really get them where they need to be?
Luis Robert?
He's making money. I'm telling you, they're not getting anybody that's going to make money.
Thank you. I'm going to.
I take it back. They're going to add payroll, I believe. I don't think they're willing to, I don't think they will take on a guy with a massive contract. I just don't think so.
Will they call up Troy Johnson?
God damn it, Isaac. Holy shit.
I have no idea.
Isaac, that wasn't cool.
Kevin has been waiting to ask that for a while, but I wanted to
see if Kevin subscribers
in. Kevin's been waiting on that. We were going to close out the show.
I think for this, as we wrap it up, I think let's stick to like the major league stuff, because honestly, like you guys do a great job with the minor league stuff, but it's you guys fall in love with them too easily, and it's sort of a relevant conversation. No offense to any of those guys. Yeah, I think
it's 9 o'clock. How many more questions do you want to take, Craig?
This is a potential playoff team, and you know they're looking for guys on other teams right now. That's what they're trying to do.
All right, Craig. It's 9 o'clock. How many more questions do you want to take? It's all up to you.
A couple more guys, and then I think I'm going to check out.
All right, let's do two more. We've got someone right now. We'll have Eli get someone on deck, and then we'll call it at that. Thank you all for those who requested to speak tonight, and for those who did speak tonight. We do this every Sunday, so make sure to tune in, especially when it's late deadline coming.
Yeah, we're still here, Craig.
Okay, was there anything else?
I guess one thing that I failed to ask Joey Wendell when I had him on, Kevin and I had him on, unfiltered, was if there's any mutual interest in retaining him for next season, because obviously we know the lack of shortstop options that they have.
I don't think so, but I do like Joey a lot, and I'm happy that he, you know, turned around somewhat this season. I'm a big fan of his, but I don't think so. I think that they really need to find a long-term answer at shortstop.
I guess one question I have quickly, with the catcher situation, obviously I think we spoke about it on Friday, but if they don't make a deal now for a catcher, what way do you think they do make a deal? Because the free agent market doesn't look good right now, and I believe a lot of catchers are, you know, they have their years of control.
That's a great question. I don't know how they're going to attack it in the offseason, but maybe similar to how they did Stallings, they would find, you know, a way to get, you know, Elias Diaz or I don't know. Honestly, I'd have to look deeper into the catcher market. But Stallings has played better, and you know Fortes has his moments. I don't think either of them are really super long-term answers, but I think you could probably live with one being a backup next year and then them bringing in somebody else. But what that would be and who that would like be, I don't know. I just don't know that they're going to be able to upgrade it this year. I mean, is Grandal a huge upgrade over either of those guys? Why? Because we know who he is? Is he a huge upgrade? I mean, pay him $12 million the rest of the year? Maybe you guys think so. I don't know. I'm hitting under 200.
All right. This will be our last question. Isaac, shut up. We got Aquatic Mascot Fan.
Ball in the center field.
He's going to get this last question in real quick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Look, Jazz, hopefully coming back soon. A couple other players might be seeing the field for the first time in a long time. Avi. And maybe even some position players traded for. My question is,
how many drastic changes should we expect post-trade deadline as far as defense, i.e. Jazz into the infield, Dane moved out of the outfield, things like that?
I think nothing after the deadline. I think next year will be massive changes again. I think it's hard to envision them. If Gene Segura goes the way he's going this year, it's hard to envision that being back. It's hard to envision anybody at shortstop because they don't have one. Cooper, if he's gone, they won't have a first baseman. Arias could play second. Maybe he moves on to first. Maybe the Jazz experiment. This is not an experiment. They're a center fielder, but I don't know that there's a commitment beyond this year to that. They haven't mentioned that one way or the other, so they could move him to second. So there's a lot of moving pieces there. I think the corners with Sanchez and De La Cruz seem pretty stable, either both being starters or being part of an outfield group. So that means a change at first, a change at short, a change at third, a change at catcher, and maybe a change at center field. That's a lot. But not this year. Not this year. Not like right after the deadline. No, I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Thank you, Greg.
Yep.
All right, well, that'll do it, Craig. Thank you once again. First-time guest. So we'll take it. Thank you very much. And we do this every Sunday night. This is our weekly show, See You at the Fish. We want to do more guests. And, again, become a super subscriber. You can speak in these all you want. Anyone can speak. Once again, we do this every Sunday, Fish on First Bath. And we started this new Fish on First Spaces account after we got our Fish Stripes account, like, completely back. So we've converted it, and we'll do spaces from that account. Probably a lot up until the deadline, so make sure to follow that if you weren't already and listen in there. We'll do them as deals break. But that's all we've got. So, Craig, thanks once again. If you got any final words, go ahead. But if not, we'll get out of here.
Craig, can you hear Grant?
No, not at all.
Okay, so he just said thank you and did a whole outro saying it. If you have any last words you want to say before we head out.
Oh, no. Listen, thanks you guys for having me. I'm very proud of you guys for, doing your own thing away from Fish Stripes. And, it seems like you guys are, I hope you have a tremendous amount of success. And, I what I really appreciate most, I think, about all of the people at Fish on First is, you're all trying to create your own voice in this industry and in this business. And so I was once there too, many years ago. And if you just keep, realizing that, media is changing and what you guys are doing is more of what the future is, and you'll be your own person, just continue on the path you guys are going. I think that you'll continue to be successful. And, I really appreciate, even though it's like sort of, I guess it's sort of like a competition. It's not really a competition because I really don't feel like I'm honestly competing, no disrespect, with anybody here. I just feel like we're all just doing what we're doing. But the way that you guys have respected me, certainly, and credited me with everything that I do and making sure that people know that, when I break a story or when I have news that I was the one that was reporting it, it does mean a lot to me because I think that that's important with how hard I've worked on this. So. I do wish you guys, certainly all the best success. I promise that, August 1st is going to be crazy. Probably I would assume I remember last year how insane it was sitting in the dugout next to Josh Appel as Pablo was almost traded to the Yankees. Like it was, I had a tweet ready to send, guys. Like, I had a tweet of Pablo Lopez traded to the New York Yankees, ready to send. So, it's exhilarating, it's fun, it's nerve-wracking, and I hope that we can come on again and do this, after the deadline or something and kind of go through it a little bit again. And I really appreciate all the fan support. And, let's embrace being buyers a little bit longer before we're ready to just throw in the towel here, Like, I know it's tough, and I know the team's losing. They don't look like they're going to the World Series or anything like that, but there's a lot of people that are over the age of 30 who have seen a lot of losing in the last 20 years. And if the future gets sacrificed for you guys in your 20s for a couple of years because they went for it this year and they end up sucking next year, you know what, man? So be it.
gotta have a winning year every once in a while, man. Like, this has gotta be the year that they try. They're so close. We could be here next year. They could be 10 games under 500. So I'll leave you guys with that. Just let's try to get a buying season here this year so I can break a buying trade as opposed to a selling trade, please. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks a lot, Craig. So this is Eli Sussman here, the rest of my Fish on First guys. Yeah, we'll be back on the Spaces next Sunday, but we have three live streams between now and then on YouTube and Twitch and Twitter. We'll do Marlon Shepardy in between. And yeah, just a whole lot of content. And easiest way to support us, just go to fishonfirst.com. And right at the top, you could become a paid super subscriber to help us doing what we're doing. So great audience here. We hope to have you guys back the next time. And we encourage you guys to speak about what's on your minds with this team moving forward. So yeah, 2 hours, more than enough on this with Craig. And like you said, we'll have even more to talk about pretty soon. Just count down the days to the deadline. Everybody have a great night and go Fish.